What's up? This is Sean Lights Out Merriman, former Charger, now CEO, co-founder of Lights Out Extreme Fighting, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
It's another one that's not bad. You know, that wasn't in the poll.
I know.
You know, but we need to put Lights Out, another Lights Out, not Chris Lights Out Lytle.
Yeah, that's the thing, Alon. When you have a nickname, it needs to be unique to just you. Like, there's too many nightmares out there. There's too many
dreams.
Like, there's you got to be unique with it. Like, you know.
All right. So we still need to talk about what we saw Saturday in Houston. We're going to get more up with Alon's fight coming up in Norfolk.
Yep.
But BKFC 10 this weekend.
This weekend.
We should have Dakota Cochran coming on in about 10 or 15 minutes as well. But really an interesting, you know, we always talk memorabilia. We always talk collectibles. You know, we're always picking up some cool stuff to give away.
Always.
And it was in Tampa, and I saw this. And, you know, I still have Topps cards from like the 70s that I've never opened. Well,
like baseball or football?
Yeah, baseball.
Baseball.
You know, baseball cards. I have unbelievable amounts of, with Ricky Henderson, you know, that are still sealed. So I saw this kind of floating around a little bit in Tampa for BKFC. And on the phone with us right now is Josh from Combat Insiders. Josh, how are you?
What's up, guys?
Well, we appreciate your time. Let's get right into it. Tell us about the BKFC limited edition trading cards you guys are doing.
Oh, man, yeah. Thanks thanks for having me on, by the way. But, yeah, man, you know, I've got to give a lot of credit to, really most credit to Nick Portella. He's the other guy in Combat Insiders. But, you know, we had this idea of coming up with trading cards, and he's really big into that stuff. And we had a whole set. We've been doing them now since BKFC 4, I believe. All of them, we have them hand signed. They were in quantities of like 5 or 6, so everything's extremely limited for now. That might, you know, we may branch out further down the road, but for right now, we're doing them in really small quantities, really small batches, and really kind of testing the waters. But also, too, it really makes it collectible. I mean, like it doesn't get any more collectible than only 5 or 6 in the world.
Yeah, it is, you know, tough to say that when it's only 5 or 6. We are going to give a couple away, and we'll talk about that in a second. Tell me about the item, the image that's on these cards. Is it from a fight? Is it in them in the back? Is it the athlete getting weighed? You know, what is it, or is it a little of all?
It's a little bit of everything. They just kind of go through some of the pictures and find one that works best for the card and, you know, something that's going to come out great. You know, make sure it's because that we have that prints them up, he's just the highest quality. And if you've ever actually put your hands on one of these cards, it's not one of these clumsy paper cards. I mean, like, it is a really high quality card.
Where can people purchase these? Are they available to be purchased, or are these just going to fighters and the company that's making them, and is that one reason why they're so limited?
So, as of right now, they're not for purchase. We've been kind of building them up for a while now. All the fighters that had a card produced for them, they each have at least one or two copies. And then we have a few copies of each one that we've produced. So right now they're not for sale. We wanted to make it special, like for giveaways or for, you know, things like that. We don't want to sell them first. Maybe down the road, again, that's one of those things that might develop more to a plan down the road where we're selling them and developing more. But, you know, we're not doing this. We do it because we love the sport. You know, we love the sport. We love BKFC. We have a great relationship with all the fighters. And, you know, anything that we can do to, God, help put out the word for these guys. These guys bust their butt, you know, day in and day out. They give so much to the sport. And we just, you know, we want to do something that can show our support and our love of the sport to them by getting these cards made and, you know, doing like special giveaways and stuff. And I, you know, people like that kind of stuff. We've got a lot of fans. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say definitely for sure. People love giveaways. They love collectibles. They love limited editions. And tell everybody what we're doing. What are the two cards that we're giving away? And watch our guest, Matt. Watch our guest when he hears who the two are.
Yeah, 100%. So we have two cards that we're going to give away. I guess we're going to give away today. It's Brian Maxwell and Abdiel Velasquez.
What?
I had nothing to do with it.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Keep telling us about
them. No, yeah. So both these guys are on the card this weekend. Brian Maxwell is fighting Uli Diaz. It's going to be an awesome fight. And Abby Velasquez is fighting Jack Nguyen. So I tell you what, if you guys haven't seen either of these two in the ring yet, please, please, please don't miss it. And both of these cards are hand signed. They're not, no stamped signature. There's no printed signature. All of these cards are hand signed by the athletes, and then they are returned back to us. So the ones that we'll be giving away. So not only are you getting a limited edition card, they're hand signed by the athletes.
Definitely very, very cool. Stay in touch, Josh. I won't see you this weekend, but let's stay in touch. Let's do some more stuff. And whatever we can do here at Knockout Radio to help you, we're on board.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. That is Josh Ferris, who's down there covering BKFC 10. And matter of fact, I talked to Dave Feldman earlier today, and I am getting booked for the next couple. You know where the next one is?
Is it somewhere in the middle of the country?
It's Kansas. Good stakes out there.
Oh, I love Kansas.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Kansas. And there's a lot going on in Kansas.
Then Alabama. Kind of on the same line, Alon, and I do still want to talk about the John Jones fight, but, you know, and I always ask all the guys now with their relationship with ESPN, and, you know, your name has been on ESPN, mm-hmm. the scroll down at the bottom. Yeah, yeah. How cool is that? You know, see, I mean, you know, Fox was cool and Spike was cool and all that's cool, but ESPN is ESPN.
Yeah, so that's pretty wild because, you know, I grew up playing baseball from age 6 all the way through to high school. So, you know, obviously, we watch SportsCenter 24/7. We watch, you know, baseball games, football games, and then you know you always watch the top 10 countdown. You watch it like 3-6 times, or whatever. And that was probably the biggest thing. I knew I was going to be on the ESPN, have my name on there, and all this stuff like that. But like, you know, when I made the top 10 plays, I was like,
it was pretty high though, too, wasn't it?
It was number one.
Was it one? I didn't know if it was one or two.
Number
one,
ESPN top 10 play of the day, and I was just like,
that's something you can't ever.
That's already like, that's a bucket list checked off right there on ESPN. Actually, that's three. Get in the UFC, be on ESPN, top 10 play, number one.
I remember I filmed it. Didn't I film it? And I texted it to you or something.
Yeah, you did.
And that ugly picture of the coaches, I texted to you as well, which burnt my phone. You know, I had to go out and get a new phone. All right, so let's go back in time. Houston, first and foremost, Derek Kukulich, who used to be our co-host, was also in the PR department of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He drilled this into my head. There's no such thing really as robbery, mm-hmm. especially in a sport, and I am a judge, and you know that there's so many different criteria on who won that round. Most of us there had it 49-48, mm-hmm. okay? And most of us that I talked to had Dominic Reyes.
Not you, man. Not you. That was crazy.
Do I?
I said not unanimous. You can't give John 4-1. That's wild to me.
You know, it was wild to me, too, because I had it 49-48 Reyes. I thought Dominic won. Mm. And one of my numerous pet peeves is when people say, well, I went back and watched it, and now, well, you can't go back and watch it as a judge first. If it's 49-48, if I had Dominic Reyes winning 49-48, I'm okay with 49-48 the other way.
Right.
You know, and I thought round three was the iffy close.
It was.
And with that all said, and I drill this all the time, you can't watch a fight as entertainment and then say who won the fight.
Right.
You can only watch if you're watching, and I understand that Joe Rogan and Dominic Cruz went ballistic, that a judge was looking at the floor for 30 seconds.
Right.
So you can't say who won that round if you didn't watch all 5 minutes.
Right.
I might not have seen the whole thing. You know, I was talking. I was doing some mm-hmm. stuff. What I saw was 49-48 Dominic, but I'm okay the other way.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, so Brett Okamoto had it for Dominic Reyes, too. You know, he said, you know, because I don't know if you saw his post, but he said that he sat down, watched it again with no distractions, like you said, and then he scored it for Dominic. You know, so I think, like you said, you can't watch, you know, even me, like I'm watching and I am breaking down what they're doing and trying to pick up, you know, what they're actually doing. But I'm also at a sports bar with my friends. And so we're talking, like you said, I might not see certain things that are happening all the time.
But if you're dethroning the GOAT, right? Mm-hmm.
Do you I'm going to punch you right in the face.
Do you have to do it in a convincing fashion?
I'm going to punch you right in the face.
I know. It's come down to numbers and like points and like, you know, strikes. I get it.
There's only one time that's valid.
Wait, what?
There's only one time, and that's when.
Ric Flair.
Yeah, the only time to beat the man, you have to beat the man is when you're scripted against Ric Flair.
Well, then I know how we can solve it in the future. We can just move the fight to Kansas because Kansas announced the Kansas Athletic Commission has cleared the way for a dramatic new scoring method for mixed martial arts events starting March 1st. Promoters will have the option to allow live open scoring for MMA events in between rounds. So you'll know, as well as the fans, as well as the fighters.
If the promoter wants to do that.
If the promoter wants it. Right. But is this the new precedent going forward?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. I don't think the bigger organizations, the UFC, Bellator, you know, if Strikeforce was still around, Pride, all that stuff, is going to open that up in just Kansas because everybody follows Nevada.
Right.
And now you're going to open up to so many different. Look at how many haven't gone to the new system.
Yeah,
you know,
still.
Right. Yeah. And you can't do that. And now you're going to open it up to, well, in Kansas they did. Who cares about Kansas? I don't mean that nasty because I hope the steak's good when I go.
Yeah.
But until Nevada does it, nobody's going to do it.
The great state of Kansas just won the Super Bowl.
Yes, they did.
So.
Yeah, exactly. all great According things come out of the great state of Kansas. So as I watched it, that's how I had it. And again, if it's close, and what I tried to say is it could be one punch. It could be one kick. The thing that I don't necessarily like about the sport that we love is me being a so-called supposed jiu-jitsu guy and another judge who's a supposed strike guy, we're looking at different things.
Right.
You know, we're looking at how do you give credit to a guy that takes a takedown, but the other guy gets up instantly? Do you give him the takedown?
So I was just talking about this with a couple teammates the other day. So I was trying to break it down to a different analogy. So like if I was going to lock up a Muay Thai clinch or a plum, right? My hands over hands, I lock him up. And let's say I get 2 points once I've secured that. Maybe I land a knee or so, right? 2 points.
Okay.
But if I go in and I get one hand and I go here and then he immediately breaks my grip, I don't think I should get two points for that. Same thing with the takedown. If I take this guy down and put him down and he pops right back up,
it's a wash.
It's not even a takedown.
Right.
Now what I said is if you wanted to do it like a jiu-jitsu tournament and you want to call that an advantage, right? Like, you know, advantages are like they're not points, but if it comes down to a draw or a close match, then the advantage, whoever has the most advantages wins.
Right.
So if you did a takedown that went and he got right back up, that's an advantage. Because you put him on the ground briefly, but he got back up.
The other thing that bothered me is a lot of media, a lot of fans said, well, it's the round four and round five, the championship rounds, is more weighted. Well, when you put in after every round, it doesn't matter if it's more weighted.
Yeah.
You know, if Dominic won the first two, you know, and three being the arguable one, then it doesn't matter about four and five, unless they're 10-8 rounds, and then if it is, it is. But I hate when people say, well, he's the champ, you have to beat him. Yeah, no crap, you have to beat him. By one punch, by one kick, by one octagon control, by one something.
Yeah.
So to say robbery when it's a close fight, that's not, you know.
I would say like the same thing as you. A few years ago, I would have been like, you got to beat the champ.
Right.
But now I think personally that, like you said, because like imagine you have this champ, right? Like Max Holloway, like he's killing everybody, right? Nobody can beat him. Nobody can beat him. Even they can't even outpoint him. But you get someone like Volkanovski who goes in there and he does beat Max, right? He beat him physically as well. Like, you know, he tore him up, but he also won by points. But let's say it was a really close fight and Max Volkanovski did. Like he did win, like barely. Even if you look at the numbers, he barely won, but he beat someone who's basically unbeatable, right? That's what the champ usually is, the unbeatable person. He beat him enough, so now that makes him the champ. That should make him the champ. So that's like my, you know.
The other thing that I try to get out all the time is that, all right, the Texas Commission is whatever. I don't want to say fixed or rigged or whatever, but, you know, the Texas Commission needs to get their crap together. How many of those judges are from Texas? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
I know Chris Lee, you know, who's a friend of mine, is from Ocala, who did most of those fights in Houston. Mm-hmm. So to say Houston. I don't know why I'm getting all riled up about it.
Why are you all right?
I really don't care.
You're like red line, like the Supercross guy. He was like, you know, I got a heart rate monitor on. We got to put one on you.
Like, well, 22 minutes. If I can talk 22 minutes straight, you know, then I pass.
Red line,
just put it underneath the podcast. Yeah. While
it just kills me that, and this is a live show, not a podcast.
Oh, sorry. Later.
You're with an OG, man. We're still FCC radio waves.
So last week I did the show from 8-Man Strong's headquarters. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Adam wasn't there. He was at the Magic Show in Vegas. So I walk in, and the second largest human being I've ever seen is greeting me there at the door. And I would say the largest, but then Alex Kappa showed up, and Alex dwarfed this guy. This guy is a Marine. I mean, a big day. You're here to do the podcast? And I go, no, we do live radio, not podcast. He goes, oh, excuse me. My wife's like, hates that I always say it's live radio, but it was
a badge of honor.
No, it's not. That's not why I say it.
Why?
I say the difference because a podcast, anybody can do a podcast.
Right.
Anybody can be in their basement, keyboard warrior, saying, I mean, this is FCC radio. This is we have to watch what we say.
Of course.
You know, we have to abide by FCC, and you've only been fined twice, so... You know that's not bad. Yeah, it's not
pretty
bad.
Good.
Yeah,
but it's a badge of honor. It's respectable. It's credible. It's nationwide. It's historic. You should be proud of that.
Okay, whatever.
Just saying.
Whatever. All right,
Something crazy could happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Never know.
Back to what we were talking about. So, I thought it was a close fight. You know, I mean, I did, and I'm okay with John Jones winning a close fight because a close fight. It's not like baseball where we know who's winning and losing.
Right.
You know, even if the score wasn't posted, we know who's winning and losing. You know, whoever scores the most runs win.
Mm-hmm.
In this sport, you know, it's so subjective.
Yeah. So how do you fix that? Because you talk about Clay Guida, how he had his hair all mopped up, and so he'd move his head, and sweat would fly. It looked like he took a punch.
Right.
Yeah. The punch missed, but yet from the angles of the judges, they scored it as a strike.
A shot.
His hairstyle caused him points and maybe victories along his career.
Well, and ever since then, that's why so many fighters now tie it up and cornrow.
I'm
going
to have my hair braided.
You know, for that reason. Yeah. Because, and it makes sense. You have to have everything on your side, not against your side. I heard Joe Rogan suggested maybe more referees or judges.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind. So what he says is like, I think he said there should be like 8 or 10 judges. And then he also said, so then you could take this, like the majority collective out of those, right? And then he also said there should be online scoring, like, which would be like fan stuff.
Now, I thought I read somewhere that a politician was paying, you know, people across the country to say good things about him. So wouldn't it be the same thing? Hey, I'm fighting on Saturday. Yeah. If you show me proof that you voted for me, I'll buy you a Big Mac.
He also said that there would be judges that are not at the venue. They're just at their house watching it on a computer. So they're seeing the whole thing from, you know, just a computer screen. There's nothing bothering them, you know, because the judges, obviously, they're there in person. And they're watching them. I mean, I don't do they stare at the monitor the whole time?
Do a little of both.
Yeah. So if you're looking at the fight as well, you might not see exactly what's going on, or you have a better angle watching the TV sometimes.
People on the internet are so cruel, right? We know that, right?
We know this, yeah.
So there was I don't think it was a meme, because a meme is it's like a cartoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was a photo of the judge that had it 4-1,
mm-hmm.
and it had the judge staring at the screen, and on the screen was Pornhub. so he wasn't even watching.
That is a meme.
it definitely was pretty funny. But when I said earlier that I wanted to talk about some other things, I guess the judge is getting death threats. His family is getting death threats. I mean, it happened in baseball.
Is this for the one that gave him 4-1 to John?
Yeah. Right. And again, I'm not going to go back and rewatch it. Right. I mean, I don't do that. Just some of the stupid, corny, quirky things that I do. But if round two was close, and some of the judges had John winning round two, and some of the judges had him winning round three, then 4-1 is not out of the realm.
Right.
You know, when it could be the difference of one thing. Mm-hmm. This should be great. What?
I have a solution. I can fix it. I can fix the scoring issues in MMA.
You know what? I can fix it too.
You're turn off my mic. So, like with technology, why don't everybody, like if Hoist could wear pajamas in the octagon.
And Altuve could wear something on his jersey, allegedly.
So why can't we just wear a full body suit with sensors and it has a power range, like
it's
a full
more than
contact,
just punching,
green.
Though. But it's more than just punching.
Yellow. Well, of course, you have the octagon control and takedowns, but you would have like a sensor system where it computerizes strikes, the power and impact of the strikes, mm-hmm. and you can just let the computer
are
dictate
you,
that.
Are you a baseball fan still?
No. Right. I mean, well, I like baseball, but I don't.
Well, watch hopefully it you'll get the analogy. So in your system, every time it's a hard punch, just bang a trash can. That was what the Houston Astros supposedly did.
Okay.
When it was a fastball, they would bang trash cans.
Listen, there's cheating in every sport, right? I mean, you often say, if you're not cheating, you're trying hard.
There's cheating here at Torta Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I'm not saying that nastily. I'm saying everywhere. You know, you're running low. I used to work at a place at an old mall that no longer exists, and they would say they put more onions and mushrooms in a cheesesteak sandwich because it cuts down
on the food cost of the meat.
Right. That's cheating.
Yeah.
It's all cheating.
Right.
Except for Alon in that gym. They don't cheat.
Yeah.
Disclaimer.
Unless it's against my teammates.
But yeah, I mean, I think with technology, there's got to be a better, or like you said, let the scoring occur after the fight's over and then make an official decision. Don't they do that in like racing, like an unofficial, like world record or unofficial something, and then they have to verify it before they declare.
Well, what are you verifying?
That they actually won the fight by points or by
the three judges said that's what it is. So what are you going to do? You're now going to rewatch it and say the judge was wrong?
Well, what if I don't know. What if the judge doesn't see it until the fight's over? Then they score it based on.
Well, you don't turn it. You don't turn that round card in until the round's over.
You know what they could do, but it would take forever and it just wouldn't make sense. But you would have the fight, so the fight would end, and then the judges would rewatch the fight again on the TVs.
Oh, that's just what
which
we need.
That would take forever. But so you wouldn't know if you won for another 15 minutes.
So this is what you'd hear. Hold on. This is what you'd hear. So the fight would end, and then you'd hear, "You have 15 minutes, so do what you gotta do." And be right back.
You don't know if you won.
Right. All right, with that, let's go hit a break. We are a little over.
The best way to settle it, just have Alon finish the fight with a flying knee.
Every time.
Yeah, every time.
Judges, out of the equation.
Well, you leave John and Dominic in there, and then you send Alon in, and he throws a knee to one of the two.
and the new champion.
All right, let's go hit a break. Coming to you live from Torta Pizza, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sub.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yo, maniacs! Hulk Hogan here, the greatest of all time, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. So what you gonna do?
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Are you a fan of MTV's hit show, The Challenge? Well, on Saturday, April 4th, Challenge Mania Live is coming to the Tampa Improv. You can see cast members from the show live on stage talking about their experience, and you can even party with them before at an exclusive meet and greet. It's at the Tampa Improv on Saturday, April 4th, hosted by three-time champion Derek Kaczynski and his podcast co-host Scott Yeager. They'll feature Mark Long, Killa Cam Williams, Nicole Ramos, and the Final Reckoning champ, Hunter Barfield. Tickets available at ChallengeMania.com. Live.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
For all of your printing needs, I strongly suggest you give 72hourprint.com a call at 888-724-7774. Need business cards or t-shirts printed? I suggest you go to 72hourprint.com. If you need a banner or some signs printed, I strongly suggest you check out 72hourprint.com. If you need fight shorts or a walkout banner printed, I again suggest you check out 72hourprint.com or give them a call at 888-724-7774. If you're tired of high print prices, then I strongly suggest you give 72hourprint.com a call today. I did, and I could not be happier. And I know you will as well. That's 72hourprint.com. 72hrprint.com.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister, and if you don't listen to Knockout Radio, you may just find yourself in one of my jails.
That's still my
jail.
Yeah.
I mean, to get a sheriff to do a liner like that, it's pretty epic.
It was down at the Super Bowl, and coolest dude. I mean, the guy is really awesome.
Cool, yeah.
And I'm like, hey, what do you think? And he's like, sure, I'll do it. I'm like, okay. All right. Let me ask you this question, and I've always wanted to ask a fighter, and it's always like the wrong time or the wrong whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to know why in you've lost at least one fight, mm-hmm. correct?
Two fights as a pro.
Okay. Well, I'm saying, but you've lost it at right. least one. So my question is, why do fighters only take photos after they win?
Take photos or post photos?
No, take photos. You know, you always see after the win. And again, I mainly only see the UFC and Bellator stuff. But it's after a win. They do the selfie. They're all happy. I get that you're upset that mm-hmm. you just lost. Mm-hmm. I get it. But if it's your first fight in the UFC, if it's a fight in the mm-hmm. UFC, I understand if it's a knockout or, you know, it's a bad loss. But if it's a close fight, I think it's still an accomplishment that you just had a fight. You know, that it was a good close fight. And I've always wondered why I've never seen a fighter take one after a loss.
Well, usually when you lose, in most fights that I've been in, and I think the UFC too, they kick you out of the cage. Like, you get out because this guy's going to do his victory speech. So it's not like you have time to be like, hey, guys, let's get it together real quick. We lost, but, you know, we're good. And then get out. It's more like, hey, come, just go this way, you know. Make your way out of the cage. You lost.
Look, you're not going to the Super Bowl parade for the opposing team, you know. It's yeah, like, and you're not going to be there for his victory dance.
And it's tough because, like, I know, like, after my losses, I don't post. And the only thing I post is, like, I thank you my sponsors, thank you my teammates, my coaches, didn't get the win, whatever, you know, I'll be back, blah, blah, blah. But, like, as far as, like, posting photos from losses, which I had no fighters that do that, I'm like, I don't even want to see it. I don't want to even acknowledge that it happened.
No, I get it. And, you know, I got in some serious trouble on something online.
Uh-huh.
It was a, I don't even know if I should tell the story, but Secret Santa. I told you the Secret Santa thing, right?
Secret Santa?
It was a Secret Santa thing that was done nationwide. Okay. So a gift was sent to my daughter of her favorite fighter or one of her favorite fighters. Mm-hmm. And in my daughter's weirdness, her favorite fighter, who's Frankie Edgar, has nothing to do with him fighting. It was the commercial at the zoo with the big tiger.
Okay.
Did you ever see that?
No.
Yeah, it was a big UFC commercial, and he had this big tiger.
Okay.
So the Secret Santa gift that was sent to my daughter was a poster of a fight that he lost.
Hmm. Wow.
So I returned it to get something. I mean, who's going to put a poster?
When he won. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, who's going to hang
was
a poster?
It was just like an action fight, an action picture? Like,
no, it was the fight poster.
Fight poster, leading up to
that fight.
Oh. Right. He lost that fight.
Right, so it's the fight of your favorite fighter of a fight he lost. So I get that you're not going to, you know, you're not happy. I get all of that. but they're still your first fight in the UFC or your third fight. It's still an accomplishment.
Yeah. A commemorative.
And, right.
Right.
You know, and it's still, you know, your team around you. It's still that team bonding thing. And,
I think
and
you
I've
do
never
that in the
noticed.
Back room. Like when you get go back to
you're
the
gonna
locker
take
room.
The octagon into the back and do it in the back.
No,
room.
No. I mean, I would probably just bypass the whole octagon thing. I would bypass that part. But personally, if I was gonna do that, like, you know, I'm gonna take a picture of my team in the locker room. You know, like, you know, hey guys, we didn't get the win, which I know a lot of fighters do that. I think it's just tough, man. When you lose in that moment, like you just
you're not
the
happy.
World has
right,
ended.
Right.
The sun is not rising tomorrow. Right. Everybody hates you. Everybody on the street knows you lost. The old little old lady walking her dog, she knows you lost. Like that's what you feel like.
Right.
It's so weird. It's a terrible feeling.
Right.
That's why fighting, I think, is like so addictive because you have the highest of the highs. You have the lowest of the lows.
I posted that photo of Juan Adams as he was leaving the octagon on Saturday.
Right.
I mean, dejected. I get it. You
sure.
know, I, he even looked like he was tearing up. I think I read that he said that he was let go already.
Oh,
you know,
was it?
You know, from the UFC.
I thought Brandon Davis was let go. Ben
Brandon
Saunders.
Davis got let go?
Well, hold on a second. I just want to correct that.
Okay.
Ben Saunders was not let go.
He wasn't. He was on the list.
I know he was on the list. Believe me, I've reached out to Ben.
Okay.
Ben's a friend of mine.
All right.
His contract was up.
He never resigned.
Well, that was his last fight.
I got
yeah,
you.
His last fight.
Out.
Right. He fought out his contract.
Okay.
So there is a big difference between
being let go, right.
Even though it's still, you know, we don't know, did Ben want to stay, you know, obviously
right.
they didn't want to keep him, you know, whatever. And he said he's okay with it. You know, he fought out his contract and, you know, but he wasn't released.
Well, Brandon Davis apparently was released and he had a great fight in Atlanta. His opening fight. I mean, if all fight cards started that way with that tempo and that kind of fight,
yeah.
I mean, people would get there before the main co-main and the main event. And the auditorium will be full the whole event, not just for those last two.
Brad Katona's on the list, who won the Ultimate Fighter. You know, it's people don't realize that we're on fire and the place is getting ready to burn down.
My new pizza guy is failing miserably. He's literally burning my restaurant down as we speak. Hey, Mike, can we open the doors in here before the sprinklers go off?
Talk about, before we hit this, we're almost at
you didn't know you were going to do cardio break. Today. You're going to run from a fire. You're like Henry Cejudo jumping out of a hotel.
The firemen carry people out. I'm like, I'm going to help you. I got you.
We're back in the gym.
Caught on fire, jumping out of a hotel in the California wildfire, so this will be similar.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be similar because it's not the second or third story, and he's not going to leave his
gold medal.
Yeah, you know, which is sitting at the table behind. Gold medal, right?
Yep.
Right?
That is my gold medal.
Is there... There's always pressure. There's always pressure every fight. But do you have to block that out? You know, now that you're at the top, you can't get any higher other than, you know, obviously win a title and be a world champion. But you can't go any higher than the UFC.
Right.
Do you have to block that out, that every day you're fighting to stay where you now are at? Kind of like once you win the title kind of thing.
I think it's just more we're at a point to where now this is my official, like, job, my career. Right. And, you know, obviously you're always working for it and it takes a long time or it doesn't happen at all for a lot of people. And now that I am here and this is my job and you do want to stay as long as you can, if you just can't, I feel like you just wouldn't enjoy life, to be honest, if you were always thinking like, oh, like I got to win. I have to win. Like this is my whole life, my whole career. This is all I know. Like I am a UFC fighter. Right. So. I mean, but it's also good to have that pressure too, because it makes you hungry. It makes you stay hungry. It makes you want to get. You know, when you get up, not want to get up, but when you get up at 7 a.m. and you're like, I need to go hit the gym. Like, but you feel bad. You're tired. You're exhausted. But you know what? I got a fight coming up, or you know, who knows when my fight's going to be. I need to be in shape. So I use that pressure. I mean, I think pressure is like it's a positive.
Sure.
You know, it can either be completely negative and you just have that fight or flight and you take the flight route and then, you know, you don't show up for the fight, right? Or you take that pressure and you use it to your, you know, advantage, you know, like the butterfly feeling.
Right.
You know, from what I've heard is that it's, which I like this explanation, is that it's the blood pulling from, you know, to your extremities, like from your stomach. That's why your bodily functions stop for the most part. Like you don't have to pee, you don't have to poop or anything like that. So it's your body's getting ready to fight.
Right.
Like you're getting pumped up. So when you feel those butterflies, that means oh yeah, like we're ready. Like that, this is a good feeling. So that's why I really try to use it as opposed to like, oh God, like I hate this. You know, like that's how you can get sometimes.
We are talking to Alon Cruz in the octagon for his first official UFC fight. Obviously, you know, Dana's challenge, you were on that February 29th, which is kind of a cool day. To say that your first official years. UFC, yeah. So, you know, it's like having an anniversary. I told you my son's getting married. He gets a card once every 4 years now. Yeah. It's perfect. Save me some money. All right, so the obvious, winning the fight is the most important thing.
Yes.
We know that.
Yes, 100%.
What is more important after we know winning the fight is the most important thing? Winning the fight or having an exciting fight? Because I've talked to, as you're thinking about it, I've talked to good friends of mine, you know, George Gagel, Clay Guida. You know, exciting fights are great, but winning the fight's more important. And George would always tell me, I'm not going to use jiu-jitsu. I want it to be exciting. I'm like, how about win a fight?
Yeah.
You know, exciting will come. Win a fight.
It, for me, it's always winning. I don't, if I'm having a bad night or this guy just came prepared at a certain point and I had to take him down and grind him out and take the win, you know, I'll do it. I've never been in a boring fight. So that my style just doesn't lead to boring fights. You know, that's one thing I can say. So, you know, even if I did take him down, I'm still trying to finish him and mess him up. But like I said, if I had, if it was like a boring fight and I got the win versus an exciting fight and not getting the win, but you get all like, you get all the clout from everybody. Oh man, that was an awesome fight, but I didn't win. Half my paycheck's not here.
Exactly.
You know, that's, and now I have a loss under the UFC banner. One more fight, I could be cut.
Has there ever been in any of your fights where you just didn't feel it? You know, you didn't feel well or you didn't. And talk about how you have to, you know, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity every time that how you have to fight through that and make yourself go on and fight.
Yeah. So that's actually what I learned a lot from my losses, my two losses as a pro. One, because when I fought at the RFC and I made my, it was actually for the Florida State title. It was my first title fight. I was 3-0. And I fought against a guy who had 15 fights, who, you know, he beat me. He beat me in the first round. But I remember I got into the cage, and it was literally like I got up out of bed, and I walked in there. I would just be so chill because I didn't really do a hard, crazy warm-up in the back. I didn't have nerves all day. Like, I just – it literally just didn't feel like I was just there to, like, you know, get a paycheck or get in the fight. And he came at me 100% round one. Like he was up here. I was down here.
That would be high in the air and low to the ground.
Yes, a lot of visuals.
I was somewhere
from the YouTube somewhere. Star.
Yeah, we need to do that audio stuff.
From the
video
YouTube
stuff.
Star, Lon Cruz. Very hands visual.
But yeah, so I've had those happen again, too, when I lost my other fight. So what I've noticed I had to do is I really just have to, like, hype myself up, even if I'm not feeling it. You know, like, if I'm not feeling if I don't feel nervous, if I don't feel anxious, and I don't feel like, you know, like, oh man, you know, we're about to fight. Like, if I'm not feeling that, that's not a good sign to me. So, like, I'll really just start, you know, hype myself. I learned from my teammate Blake, because I see him put his headphones on and he just gets in the zone. He's talking to himself. He's walking around. He's moving around. He starts making mean faces. And I started kind of doing that too. And it actually helps me get in the mindset, even if my body's not feeling it that day, it helps me get in the mindset and like fake my body into being like, hey, we're about to fight. Like, you know, you need to be ready. And so that's what I've learned.
And that's what I was just going to say. And so many fighters have said that, you know, people don't realize, they don't stop and think you're getting in a fist fight in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, if you just walk in there all chill and stuff, and that's why I used to love like Matt Hughes, and I know a lot of them do it now where they pace back and forth. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like they're trying to psych themselves into, I'm getting ready to have a fist fight. And I don't care how good you are. You're going to get hit in the face. You're going to get hit in the body that probably is going to hurt.
Yeah. I was just telling her, because we were watching the fight motion from this last fight. You know how they do like the slow-mo. It's all slow-mo, right? They do it on their YouTube channel, the YouTube, UFC. And I was like, after my fight, I'm going to be on the fight motion. They're going to be doing these slow-mos of me getting hit in the face. And she was like, you're not going to get hit in the face. I was like, I'm probably going to get hit in the face. Everybody gets hit regardless of how good you are, right? So like you just said. So, I mean, it's kind of a surreal thing, because I'm not a very aggressive or violent person outside the cage. You know, I've never even been in a street fight in my life. Like, you know, it scares me. It freaks me out. Like, I hate confrontation. Like, I'm just like...
Well, what people don't realize... Hold on a second. What people don't realize is you're a professional prize fighter or an amateur prize fighter. A street fight could be a knife, a gun, brass. It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
You know, people say that all the time. Well, you're an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
No, it's a street fight. There's no rules. None.
And there's a guy stopping it, you know, if it gets out of hand.
Well, that's the kickball
one. You have nothing. Like, yeah, you got no one.
That's back in the Kimbo days. Let's go hit what I think will be our last break of the afternoon. You still going to hang out? Everything good?
Or yeah. How much? What's you got going on?
We got one more segment.
One more segment.
And Alon Cruz is going to be involved. That's
up.
Shocking.
Coming up next.
Coming to you live from Tour de Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
Time was drifting. This rock got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway. Restless feeling really got a hold. I started searching for a better way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Ryan Bader here, Bellator heavyweight and light heavyweight champion. You're listening to Knockout Radio with that ugly man over here, Randy.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
Are you a fan of MTV's hit show, The Challenge? Well, on Saturday, April 4th, Challenge Mania Live is coming to the Tampa Improv. You can see cast members from the show live on stage talking about their experience, and you can even party with them before at an exclusive meet and greet. It's at the Tampa Improv on Saturday, April 4th, hosted by three-time champion Derek Kaczynski and his podcast co-host Scott Yeager. They'll feature Mark Long, Killa Cam Williams, Nicole Ramos, and the final reckoning champ, Hunter Barfield. Tickets available at ChallengeMania.com. Live.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
For all of your printing needs, I strongly suggest you give 72hourprint.com a call at 888-724-7774. Need business cards or t-shirts printed? I suggest you go to 72hourprint.com. If you need a banner or some signs printed, I strongly suggest you check out 72hourprint.com. If you need fight shorts or a walkout banner printed, I again suggest you check out 72hourprint.com or give them a call at 888-724-7774. If you're tired of high print prices, then I strongly suggest you give 72hourprint.com a call today. I did, and I could not be happier. And I know you will as well. That's 72hourprint.com. 72hrprint.com.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Jorge Gamebred Masvidal, the baddest motherfucker and the fighter of the year, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I said listen to
them. All right, we are back. Got the Jordan Pizza tool bag getting a photo with Alon, so he's out interview. In the parking lot. What? You're going to what?
We're doing an interview right now. So
all right, so ask a question. Well, ask a question as you have another man's arm around you.
So I do. I do have a real question. So, all right, you want my serious question? Although it's not sensitive. Or it's
to me or to Alon?
To Alon. I got a question for Alon.
All right.
Alon, throw your head. Oh, sorry.
Oh, this is awesome. Yeah, wonderful radio. Fantastic.
Okay. All right.
So ask your question.
All right. So we're here with Alon Cruz, right? And he's just starting his career. He's in the debut. His UFC fight's coming up. But a legend of the sport, a guy, BJ Penn, is reportedly had a DUI accident on Friday. He flipped his truck. He's in the hospital. He was in Hawaii, which is highly reported.
Right, just hurry up with the question. He's got a place to be. He's got to get over the bridge.
Well, my question is for Alon. He's 30 years old. He's his whole future's ahead of him, right? So when you talk about now, this is your sole career.
Before you finish the question, can I just say one thing?
Yes.
Feel free to punch him in the face at any time.
He's good.
I'm not a professional fighter, but I do play one on radio. My question is, do you think about like life after the UFC, like after your career is done, and similar to the NFL, how the players association are trying to like prevent injury or long-term effects of CTE. Do you think about those kind of things, your damage you're taking now in your youth and in your prime?
Yeah, 100%. That's why I try to, even after fighting, I'm definitely going to stay as healthy as possible, train, I'm never going to stop training. And then obviously I might. Yeah. the thing is, like, I think the biggest thing is recovery. There's so many like new techniques and new therapies that people are doing to help with brain damage and, to help not reverse it, but to slow it or maybe help improve the quality of life. So, just being on the, I think just sticking into whatever's going on. Like, I'm taking turmeric every day. I take my fish oil. I'm trying to, get as much possible sleep as I possibly can. And in most of my fights and most of my training, I try not to get hit too much. If you watch my fights, I rarely get hit a lot. Obviously, I know there's a point and there could be a fight where it's just inevitable that I'm going to get hit a lot. It might just be a war. Right. So I think the thing is just, you just have to be smart. I think technology is going to come a long way as well. If I retire, my goal was always to retire at 35. Like, that was it. Like,
mine too.
But, if I'm at 35 and maybe I'm doing well in the UFC and I'm making good money and I am in, competitive in the top 10 or whatever the case may be, then maybe I would reevaluate, depending on how my health is and, keeping up with my, seeing a doctor all the time, maybe, doing like a brain scan every 6 months or so just to make sure everything's going all right and just doing anything possible to not have to, I want to be able to talk when I'm older.
Sure.
And be able to walk around.
Well, Randy, this question would be more for you.
Can Alon go now so we can beat the traffic?
Yeah, he can go.
Is it okay?
I'm just curious because...
Is it all right?
Because the performance
Alon,
is...
Matt, thank you very much for the time. I will talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Eight Man Strong gear coming your way.
I'll come back for pizza, too.
Yes. Open invite. Anytime.
Yes.
Whatever you need.
Matter of fact, we'll do it the show after. We'll do the Wednesday after. We'll bring Alon back out.
Let's do it.
All right. Sounds good. That's Alon Cruz back in the Octagon cage. Not back in the Octagon cage on February 29th.
The debut.
In Norfolk. Thanks a lot. That's a teammate of mine, by the way.
We're teammates. You should punch him in the face.
Exactly.
Get ready for the fight.
Oh, we've rolled. We've grappled. We've done some stuff.
But look, the Performance Institute, the UFC, they build these centers around the globe in China and in Puerto Rico and Mexico and Vegas.
Did you see something about China? That they were welding doors shut. They were putting people that have whatever this disease
is. Coronavirus?
In their house and then welding the doors shut.
Did you see Eminem got the coronavirus?
I have some M&Ms.
Apparently, he reported that his palms were sweaty, his knees weak, arms.
God, where's the joke?
No, his rap song, Lose Yourself, what he did at the Oscars.
I didn't see
that. That was the laugh. Like, vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti.
I didn't see it.
But the UFC, they're building these champions. They're building these fighters. They build these warriors. Don't you think there's a social... responsibility to help them in a situation like BJ Penn after your career is over, after you've been a gladiator your
entire
life.
What does one have to do with the other?
I'm just saying,
seriously, what does one have to do with the other?
Because they benefit greatly from the success of these fighters.
That's not what I'm asking. Since you brought up BJ Penn, who I consider a friend of mine,
he is.
But what he did and what he's done Are you saying that has anything to do with? Is that all head trauma?
But if the UFC is taking these fighters and they're bringing them out to train them to fight, to perform, to be a star, to be a bread and butter, like a Conor McGregor, a golden ticket for revenue and for money, don't you think they owe it to the fighters to care for them after their careers are done, offer them places where they can live or rehab or the same kind of love that they get going on the way up to stardom as they would do coming out of it?
I'm not saying this is right. I'm not saying it's wrong, but no sport, nobody does that. NFL doesn't do it. And that's what they've been arguing about with the head trauma. And, you know, and that's a multi-billion dollar company.
Right.
You know, I think they take pretty good care of the athlete while they're employees.
Right. Sure. Medical and,
I just don't know if that's feasible. And I'm not saying I'm against it. You know, I watched my first episode of Ballers on the way to Phoenix.
Is that the Lorenzo Ball or is it the three ball?
It's the three ballers. Dwayne, the Rock Baller, his daughter, Baller.
Okay.
Did you see about his daughter, about the Rock's daughter?
Oh, yeah. She just started training, right?
At the PI in Orlando, which used to be here in Tampa. She is the first ever fourth generation.
Wow.
Which is kind of cool. I mean, that is cool. But that's what that Ballers episode was about. And he was like a part owner, and now they're trying to force him out because that's what he's going for. You have a quick 40 seconds. We can watch this TV thing.
It must be the Cerrone fight.
The Ballers episode was about that he wanted lifetime health care for all players in the NFL on the TV show.
Four significant shoulder strikes. Have you ever seen a strike as we're live on the air? We're watching the McGregor Cerrone fight on Fight Pass, courtesy of
the TV. This is courtesy of the TV.
Courtesy of the TV. But, I mean, have you ever seen the shoulder used as a weapon like that in the middle of the octagon? I mean, you see it in the clinch all the time. You see it, you know, maybe on the when they're posturing up on the ground. But have you ever seen it used in that velocity and that ferociousness?
No.
I mean, like, seriously.
Is that what you want me to say?
Yeah, no? I mean, I think, you know, even Cerrone, like, having the most victories or most fights in UFC history, you know, was caught off guard. He was caught off, like, he didn't know to expect it.
And then a phone call from Air Force One.
All zeros.
That's still one of the coolest stories
How
ever.
How cool is that?
You know, and live from Air Force One, the president calls Dana White. Are you kidding me? 40 seconds?
Cerrone can only last 40 seconds?
Wow.
That's a pretty cool story.
You know what fight I'd like to see next? Seriously. This is the fight I'd like to see.
Okay.
Donald Cowboy Cerrone, Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, that's a good one. I think I just saw Cerrone to an internet troll posted his real address because the guy said he was like throwing the fight and, you know, like, he took a
dive. Invited him to the ranch.
Yeah, so come out and get a whooping.
But that goes back to that podcast thing that we talked about earlier. Anybody can text, type, right. You know, ramble on, say whatever, you know, show up to the door, you know, knock on the door and say you threw the fight.
Right.
Right.
It's a different world.
Well, you know, and I call people out on this all the time as well. You know, on Twitter, they'll say stuff about whoever. John Jones didn't win that fight. John Jones stinks. Tag John Jones.
Right. Say it to the man.
Exactly.
But at the same time, no disrespect to any of the fighters listening that I might see at the next UFC fight. But
you're not going to a UFC again.
But the point is,
neither am I.
Like, there are a lot of street ballers in basketball that are not in an organized team, an organized league, that would never make it in a college because they have either a criminal record or they, you know. So, you know, same thing with the way of fighting. I mean, now it's so technical, right? It's so precise. You go in with a game plan. You watch so much footage and video of your opponent. So it's not really like a real street fight. This is a sport.
I still say it wasn't the shoulder strikes.
Because
as we're rewatching it, watch the knee again.
With the first knee coming in, it definitely connects. And then that softened up the head kick.
See if this is the knee. Yeah, the knee definitely lands.
He just kicked him with the toes.
I still don't know how much the shoulders.
But there are a lot of guys in the street that would beat a UFC fighter because it's not a sport. It's not points.
You mean in a street fight or in a?
In a real street fight. You know, some of these MMA guys couldn't really fight in a real street fight. There are a lot of tough guys in the street, right? I mean, so this is more of a sport now.
It's two entirely different things.
They're kicking leg kicks, the dead in the leg.
I'll say this, and I've said it before. I'm willing to bet you that there's a better fighter somewhere in the world that could beat John Jones in the octagon.
No question.
I believe there's a basketball player somewhere in this world that would dunk on LeBron James and make him look like a child.
Well, the fighter that's going to be
they don't have the opportunity.
His name is Dominic Reyes, and he did it last Saturday. He just didn't get the belt.
He didn't win the fight.
I mean, he didn't win the fight according to three guys.
He didn't win the fight.
To three judges.
They're the only ones that matter.
I know it. It's the only one, but is that that's not
You right. know, and I would almost be, and I know we only have about 40 seconds left, if it would have been a split decision, maybe all three judges gave the fight to John Jones. There was no controversy. There was no robbery. It was a close, close fight that Dominic Reyes didn't close the door on.
Still the GOAT?
He won the first two. Yes, he's still the GOAT.
Still the GOAT.
He is the greatest of all time. This has been Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm available. Sometimes I even respond, and I will tag said people at Knockout Radio.
At Mega Pizza Man.
I think next week we're back here at tour, right?
Yeah.
I think so. I don't think I'm on the road anytime soon. So
on the road again.
It is good. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Alon Cruz, thank you very, very much for your time.
Great guest.
He will be back out here for pizza after February 29th. Once again, 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, make this all happen. Hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, what's up? This is DDP, Diamond Dallas Page World Championship Wrestling, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.